to here. I think that that is all smoke. I think the guy that the Commanders really want is the guy out of UNC, Drake May. That's who I think they should take. I think he's the better quarterback. I think he's a lot more mechanically sound. Had worse weapons, but was just as effective. I think that Drake May, I don't want him in the division, so I hope they draft Jaden Daniels. But I think that that is kind of a smokescreen, and that Drake May is going to be probably playing his football for the next 5 years in the NFC East.
And I agree with you. I don't want him in my division either, because I feel like if he drops to three, I feel like Minnesota, I don't think the Patriots will pass up on him, but I feel like Minnesota is just going to toss an absolute haul to get a quarterback. And if not, you still have two picks to add up in the roster if you lose some key additions. With that being said, we get to pick number three here. And this is where I'm kind of a little in on with the Patriots, because you could go out, you get your quarterback in Jaden Daniels, but this team has a lot of holes right now. I mean, they just, if you get Jaden Daniels, who are you going to have him toss to? N'Keal Harry? He has no weapons. This offensive line is not the best. I mean, it wouldn't be the best supporting cast, in my opinion. Because at least even in Washington, you still get Terry McLaurin. You still have at least a number one receiver you can trust. Or at least a reliable weapon. But here, it's just, I just don't know if I'd want to be a quarterback going into this situation in New England. When you have other situations, like I'd rather play New York. Minnesota might be the best situation for a young quarterback, other than Chicago, or even better than Chicago. In my opinion, you get the best receiver in the league. And do you go out, do you take Jaden Daniels? I think they do, because the most important position is quarterback. Even if you do want to go a receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr., you can trade out, maybe get more assets too for a team that actually needs it. Well,
I don't know if New England can trade out and still land Marvin Harrison, because the Arizona Cardinals pick next.
Just go and trade out in general just to get more assets. But.
Oh, absolutely. That I totally understand. Like you said, it all starts at the quarterback position. You have the opportunity to draft, I would say, a potentially transcendent talent at that quarterback position. If you're Elliot Wolf in New England, you take it. You have a lot of holes, but you have a lot of ammo to potentially move back into this first round and add an offensive lineman or add a wide receiver.
And here's the thing. I don't think Daniels needs to start right away either. Like, I'm fine with him. You know, you could still get a receiver in next draft or even in free agency. Because you still have Brissett in England, New England, right?
Yes.
So he could still start, you know, this season. You're not in a rush to put Jaden Daniels, because obviously there is a lot of mechanics issues, a lot of issues with him tossing over the middle of the field, which is a huge concern, and you have the sack rate as well. I feel like tossing him in with that team right away would just be malpractice, but, I mean, you don't have to. You have that choice. Whereas a team like, you know, Washington, I feel like they have to start their quarterback pretty much right away.
Yeah.
I don't really think they have a good enough bridge quarterback to, you know, say, hey, Drake, we're going to bench you for a year. You can sit behind and learn.
Yeah. Marcus Mariota, like, not, I wouldn't call that kind of bench quarterback. Like, Jacoby Brissett is a guy that can teach Jaden Daniels a lot of what
exactly.
He needs to know as a journeyman quarterback, in a sense. And I think Jaden Daniels, like, they start, Bill Belichick started Mac Jones right away, but I think this is a very different situation with two vastly, vastly different players. And that's what it's going to come down to.
That'll put us in potentially, I think this one should be a surefire pick, but number four in Arizona.
I think that there will definitely be calls here about a team moving up, whether that's Minnesota, whether that's Denver, whether that's even Las Vegas.
I could see maybe New York trading up.
I don't think
they will, but, like, I know you don't want that to happen.
It's not that I don't want that to happen. It's just I don't think that they will. I don't think that the Giants want to trade up. I think they want to trade back.
That could very well happen.
Based on everything that I've heard, or maybe they just want to stay put. I don't think that the Giants are in business to move up at the moment. I think they, if it's Drake May, yes. If it's JJ, I don't think so. Because I think that he just falls to six unless someone jumps the Chargers, which I'm not super sure of.
You know, you want to get crazy here? I was going to have the Vikings straight up for JJ.
Interesting. I don't know if I see the four quarterbacks.
I don't think they would trade up this early, though.
I don't think it's going to take a lot for the Cardinals to move off this pick. And
yeah, honestly, I could see New York or Tennessee trading back.
Yeah, me too. Same with the Chargers, but more of those other two.
Well, I think if Well, we'll get to that when we get to five, but
yeah, I think this is a very easy pick, like you said, very surefire. Kyler Murray, great quarterback. He needs that alpha dog wide receiver one that they really haven't had since DeAndre Hopkins has left. Marvin Harrison Jr. has gold jack potential just like his father, so
I mean, there were talks from Malik Nabers possibly being a wide receiver one in some boards. Obviously it depends, you know, he's a different type of receiver than, you know, Marvin Harrison, a lot more explosive with the ball in his hands. But Marvin Harrison's the best receiver in this class. Let's not get it wrong. He's been the best for a while. He's proven why he's the best. There's no reason to get away from it. And now you have a team in the Chargers who could go a multitude of different ways here. You have Malik Nabers, who could potentially be wide receiver one in this class. He has that just that good. He'd be wide receiver one in almost any other class, maybe even the last, I'd dare say, 10 years. Maybe not 10 years because you had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. But still, a very good wide receiver prospect. But you also have Joe Alt, who might be the most sure thing in the draft, who's going to come in, be an elite starter at tackle. And you put him alongside Rashawn Slater, and you basically protect Herbert for the next, you know, couple years, basically. And knowing Harbaugh, I feel like he wants to go offensive tackle here. I feel like it's just the most Harbaugh pick ever. It's to pass up on a receiver and go Joe Alt. But I also feel like this could be another, like you said, trade-down scenario as well. But I feel like, you know, this Spiro, we know who this is. We know what this coach wants. You have a chance to draft perhaps maybe the best O-tackle in this draft, easily the most sure thing besides maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. I think they take Joe Alt here.
I think that's a phenomenal pick, Josh. I was going to say that's the same route I think the Chargers go. I've been saying it for a while. I think it's either going to be Bowers or Alt if they make this pick here. And I think it's going to be Joe Alt just because we know what Jim Harbaugh likes. We know what Jim Harbaugh wants. It's that run game, that hard-nosed, smash-mouth football, and Joe Alt will fit that like a glove.
Again, I think if the Chargers do trade out, I don't think they'll draft Bowers as high as five. Or at least I don't think they should. They might. I don't know. It's the draft. It's kind of chaotic. But I just think, you know, if they do trade out maybe to like 10, actually, I'm not even sure if they trade out to 10 because the Jets might take Bowers and scoop him up if the receivers are gone, which I assume they will be. Either way, that puts your New York Giants on the clock, Jason.
I absolutely love the idea of drafting Malik Nabers here, just bringing in this elite wide receiver target. But I know that the phones are ringing for Joe Shane in this scenario. J.J. McCarthy is still sitting there. There's a chance that they just draft him themselves. But if there's a chance that they get a haul and can still land one of those wide receivers, that's what I think the New York Giants want.
And who? What do you? So I'm assuming I'm going to have to trade with you for the Giants.
I'm thinking either the Broncos or the Vikings here.
That's what I was thinking too, Minnesota or something.
But honestly, I think it could be Tennessee who makes that trade too. I can see the Giants just drafting Nabers and then the Titans making the trade.
That could be the case because you guys have no receivers, though. And the thing is, Daniel Jones is still under contract for 1 year. So, I mean, you could technically just put JJ in and then you add. Man, this is a difficult situation, not going to lie, because there's so many options. Because obviously, I think Daniel Jones isn't the answer at quarterback. I think we can pretty much say that it's kind of a bad deal.
Absolutely. At the time, you had to give it to him.
I mean, yeah. And so, I get, you know, quarterback is the most important position, and the quarterback class next year is not ideal. I'll just put it like that. I just don't feel like they'd stick and pick a quarterback here. I feel like you got to go Malik Nabers because he's the best receiver. Yeah. But
I think the phones will be picked up about trading for J.J. McCarthy, or team trading for J.J. McCarthy, the Broncos or the Vikings.
What, the Bears could. I mean, why not get Caleb and J.J. in the same draft?
Yeah, you never know. But I think ultimately the Giants are going to be too high on Malik Nabers, what he's going to add to a Brian Daboll offense. I think it's going to be too much for them to want to pass up on as much as they may want to make that move down. I think that they want to stay, and I think they want to draft a wide receiver, whether that's Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze. I think right now it could be Roma Dunze, but I'm a Malik Nabers guy, so I'm going to stick with my guns and take Malik Nabers here.
And now we got the Titans, and this has got to be a trade-back scenario.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, most of the mocks we've had is, you know, Joe Alt dropping to 7, assuming the Chargers would take a receiver. But right here, pretty much, you know, your guy who's the perfect fit for Tennessee was taken at number 5 in Joe Alt. You could take a reach on Olufoshinu. Maybe Will Levis isn't working out and you want to take J.J. McCarthy. Probably not. I assume you're going to give Will Levis as much as you want. Sneaky pick, they could go Dunze, but you gave Calvin Ridley a bag this offseason. Maybe you want another wide receiver to help your young quarterback out. I think this is a trade down, and you look at Minnesota or the Broncos, either one of those teams potentially is going to want this pick.
I would give you, since I'm picking for the Broncos, I would give you 12 in a 2025 first round pick for 7.
Let me see here. I think I'm going to take that, honestly.
Okay.
Tennessee, so Broncos trading up into the first. I feel like it may be a little bit more in realistically, but
yeah,
I feel like they might have to add like a second or a third, but it has to be somewhere around that because they are just jumping up 5 spots.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Minnesota wants a quarterback. I don't think that it's J.J. McCarthy. I think Drake May is the apple of their eye, and I don't think that that's going to work out for them.
That's fair, yeah. I mean, it's just that, you know, you're jumping from 11 to essentially have to go top 4. You're going to have to give up a lot in order for this to work.
Absolutely. They've kind of decimated their pick share last year. They traded a first-round pick to acquire Sean Payton, and this is a much more monumental move.
I still can't believe they did that. That was one of the most wildest things I've seen.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that this pick is very cut and dry here, personally. It's obviously J.J. McCarthy. I think Sean Payton's going to love having a guy like that. He can coach him, teach him up.
Absolutely. I mean, he is the prototypical Sean Payton guy, in my opinion.
We say that about Bo Nix. It's really J.J.
I know. It's just...
Yeah. Good arm, good tools. And we know what happened the last time Sean Payton got to work with a Big Ten quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Some guy... who was it again? Some guy named Drew Brees or something like that?
Yeah, never heard of him.
Never heard of him. Must be some nobody.
Yeah.
And that puts us to number 8 at the Falcons. And with Roma Dunze still there, I feel like a team could jump the Bears here. You look at the team like maybe the Jets, who need a receiver badly. But also the Jets can kind of stick there because they also have a chance to get Brock Bowers as well. And also a team, you know, teams that need a receiver, Colts, potentially Bengals, I think could be a sneaky one, assuming T. Higgins wants out.
I even think the Jaguars could be a team that comes up.
That could be one, too. I mean, who else do they have a receiver other than Zay Jones?
They have Gabe Davis.
That's going to move the needle, I'm sure.
Something that I would love to see if we really want to get a little bit crazy here is the Bills moving up 20 spots for Roma Dunze. I don't think it happens, but boy,
I mean,
you'd
have to give up a first, but that team has just so many issues because they have secondary problems. I mean, they lost so much depth over this last free agency. It is just, that team is just decimated with holes.
I would love to see it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I just don't think they have the right roster to add it.
Yeah, I also think 20 picks for receivers a little bit much, if it's not Marv.
You would be just absolutely crazy.
What?
If the Panthers trade up from 33.
Oh, my God. I don't think the Falcons would let them do that.
Exactly, it's in division, but like if that was like another team that wasn't in their division, that would be a wild trade to think of.
Yeah, I think this is either the Jags or the Colts here.
I think it's got to be one of those two. Who do we?
I mean,
I think Colts have Michael Pittman, so it's not like I don't think they need a receiver as much, but it would be nice.
And Josh Downs, yeah, I think the Jags need it more.
That's what I'm saying. I think Jags will be more desperate, or even low key, I could see. No, because they have London and Mooney, so they don't need another receiver.
I think if Neighbors is there, you stick and pick him, but...
Exactly. Because I was assuming, you know, could possibly trade T. Higgins and, like, a third to move up to, like, 9 or something. Or something absolutely crazy like that.
I can see it.
Like, so you know what? You need a receiver? Let me move up and get it. Or... You know, I'll wait on that one because I have a. I was gonna say maybe you trade T. Higgins to the Bears at 9 and take Bowers.
That is so disgusting.
That would be, If Ryan Poles could pull that off, that would be, that's not going to happen. Let's get to the pick here. I'm assuming this is going to be a trade back.
Yeah,
with,
I would agree.
Who do we want? The Jags?
I would say the Jags.
So I have the Jags. So let me see here. What would be a realistic trade value? Because you're jumping up from 17 to 9.
To 8.
To 8. So I assume you kind of have to give up a first.
I would say a first and a third.
I feel like that's probably what you need to do to at least jump that many spots and that many wide receiver needy teams as well.
Yeah.
And they're trading with Atlanta.
Yeah.
So Jacksonville's going to go up 17, a first, and assume a third.
Yeah.
To move up to 8. And they are going to...
They're going to grab Romo Odunze, who Trevor Lawrence is going to love.
Oh, he's going to be ecstatic about that.
From a fantasy football standpoint, I love this destination for Romo Odunze.
Oh, I mean, he's going to come in. He can be he should be wide receiver one right away.
Yeah. And he's playing with Trevor Lawrence, who people are saying, oh, he's not that good. He's still one of the top, I'd say the top half quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, I mean, you saw 12-ish. The potential he had.
Yeah.
Obviously, the team around him wasn't as good as before. He had, you know, essentially no help in the receiving department. Calvin Ridley was kind of disappointing in this season here, especially after his, you know, bright spots in Atlanta. People thought he could come in, be that guy again. And he just kind of fell flat on the expectations that we expected from him. And somehow he still got a bag, though. So, I mean, I guess it worked out for him. So,
yeah.
Shout out Tennessee. And that leaves the Bears here at 9. And I feel like this could be a team that wants Brock Bowers could trade up because I feel like the Jets could pick him.
I have something even crazier. I have our third straight trade in a row, but it's the New Orleans Saints calling to move up.
Ooh. And who would this be for?
Olufashinu.
Okay. We have the Saints moving up from 9.
14 to 9. Probably not super steep.
I was going to say, you probably only have to give up, like, what, a second or something?
Yeah. I would say second next year because they don't have a ton of picks this year. Oh.
So, trading with the Bears, you're going to move up to 9. Second next year. Or second, not this year. Next year.
Yeah.
And they are going to move up for their tackle here.
Olufashinu.
Never pronounced his name right.
I think he did confirm that it was Fashinu.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And leaves the Jets right here wide open to take potentially Brock Bowers, in my opinion. I just think that fit is just so... It makes sense because they need a pass catcher. Oh, they need more weapons. But you also see an offensive tackle, Talisi Fuaga, still there. Troy Fontenot, I think it's a little bit too early for him.
I think he's going in the next couple of picks.
For sure. Especially if you, I'm not going to say, but like if you look at 12 of Tennessee, if Fontenot's there or even Fuaga,
yeah.
I think they go on, they get him because they were looking for an offensive tackle and they could still get their guy.
Yeah. I think Fashanu is the best tackle on the board, and I say that there's a bit of a gap between them. And New Orleans, with the brand of football they want to play, Olufashinu is a perfect fit.
Absolutely. And for number 10, I think this is, if he's here, you take him. It's Brock Bowers.
I would say absolutely.
I mean, just you gave Aaron Rodgers weapons. You know he needs more receiving threats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just nasty work. Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, and now you add Brock Bowers to that. That trio is just going to torch the AFC.
Yeah,
I didn't even mention Breece Hall, by the way.
Lightning in a bottle. I think he's a top five running back in the NFL, personally. I mean,
yeah, Breece Hall, that offense. And, you know, the Jets' defense is solid, too. And that would put us to number 11 with the Vikings, unable to trade up for a quarterback. Sticking right here, probably have to fill out some roster spots. Could potentially trade back if there's some team that, you know, wants an edge like Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
Or wants a corner like Terrion Arnold.
Oh, it'll definitely be something to monitor here.
This is going to be a hard one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I feel like they could go edge, Or get some interior or get some inside help, but who could potentially, like, who realistically needs a trade up for a corner here?
Eagles.
Eagles would have to give up a steep price to jump up from what? 22 to 11? Yeah. I mean, but, you know, Howie Roseman is the man to do it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know what, why not? You know, this is our last mock. Let's pull the trigger.
I think it's steep, but I think Howie Roseman, of all people, would do it.
If Howie Roseman was not the general manager of Philadelphia, we would not be making this trade right now. Let's be real.
Absolutely.
So I assume it's going to be 22, a first, and potentially possibly a second or third. At least that's what I think. Maybe
yes,
a little.
I think too.
To move up to 11.
Yeah.
Eagles are on the clock, and they're getting the best corner in this draft. It could be Arnold. It could be actually Quinion.
Quinion Mitchell.
It depends on what the type that, you know, the type of guy that Howie Roseman wants.
The Vikings we're thinking here?
I assume it's the Vikings. I just, you know, made the trade.
Okay.
Because I assume the Vikings missed out on the quarterback, and there's not really anyone I could see the Vikings really wanting right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like a team's just going to be desperate for a corner, because I don't think any corner is getting past Oakland. Or my fault. Las Vegas, not Oakland.
Yeah.
And Indianapolis.
Also, I was a little distracted there for a second. I love the fit of Brock Bowers to the Jets. Everyone's been mocking them tackles the whole time. A guy like Fuaga, they need those tackles. This seems like a great fit there. But if you have an offense with Mike Williams, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, and Brock Bowers for 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, talk about trying to get the most out of your quarterback and trying to open your Super Bowl window for as long as possible.
And they got a good defense. Their defense is top 10, in my opinion. Top five. I mean, they got a good defense. That is a scary team if you add Brock Bowers to that system.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we had the Eagles trading up here. And it's pick your poison. Do you want Terrion or do you want Quinion?
What did you have them trading to move up?
I think it was a first next year, potentially a third or a second.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, you're moving up 11 spots. You're going to have to give up a first and, you know, more.
Yeah.
I figure that's going to be the price. But, you know, if there's a corner you really genuinely believe, because that secondary got torched in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That is why your team, you know, lost to Baker Mayfield. And it depends on the type of corner you want. Do you want Terrion or do you want Quinion?
I think they're going to want Quinion Mitchell. That guy's a stud.
That's what I was thinking, dude. He's just an athletic freak.
Yep.
He's just all over the place. A real riser in his draft stock this season.
Absolutely.
Especially at the Senior Bowl. Just straight up locked everyone down.
Yeah.
And that brings us to number 12 in the Titans.
Yes. This is in a very interesting spot right now. This is a team that is in desperate need of offensive line help. They've kind of drafted a couple guys over the last couple of years. I'm sure they're going to give wide receiver a legitimate look with Brian Thomas Jr. on the board right now.
Could be.
I think that could be a very fun first round pairing.
At 12, that would be a reach, but that would be fun, though.
That would be quite fun. But if we're talking strictly, what do we think they're going to do here? The Titans, if they're looking for a bookend left tackle, right? Then I don't think that this pick is Tuisi Fuaga. Because projects as more of a right tackle in the NFL. I think it could be Troy Fautanu, but I think the way that they go here is they go with a freak offensive tackle in Amarius Mims out of Georgia.
Ooh, we're cooking. We are getting a little spicy today.
I think he's going to go much earlier than people anticipate because of what he gives you in terms of his athleticism. It's kind of like with the Jets, Mekhi Becton a couple years ago.
I mean, Mekhi, I thought he was going to be so good after his rookie year, too. And unfortunately, you know, injuries racked up. He sort of just falling off a bit.
Yeah.
But he had so much promise. And you look at Amarius Mims. I mean, we've called him on the pod many times. We've called him Thanos on here more times than you could probably count on your hand. He's just a beast. There's no other word to describe it. Just the size, the strength. No man that size should be able to move like that, in my opinion. What he does. On the field, he's just going to be an immovable object, I should say.
Unstoppable force meets a movable object kind of thing.
Basically, and that leaves us to number 13 with the Raiders. And
Raider football. Antonio Pierce, first from draft pick as head coach. Tom Telesco's first as GM of the Chargers, as GM of the Raiders after being with the Chargers.
They need a tackle. They could go corner here. Terry Arnold is still available. I see Talisi Fuaga. I just think he's the type of guy that just, like, a mauler, epitomizes Raider football.
I was thinking that, too.
Like, if you want a guy who's just going to be, like, who is just what the coach wants, what he develops, the Raider spirit, you know, a guy who's just all grit, just is not afraid to get dirty inside the trenches, a guy who's an absolute mauler in the run game, it is this guy right here. And I think it's just a match made in heaven in terms of the culture fit. Yeah. It's got to be Talisi Fuaga here.
Yeah, I agree. He's a really good player who slipped further than I think we anticipated in this mock draft.
And that's kind of crazy because it's like he should be possibly going between 11 to 9, in my opinion. And he drops to 13. I think the Raiders are licking their chops if they get him there.
Yeah. You know who else I think is licking their chops right now?
Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this. I mean, I would be ecstatic if this is the board because you still get, Jared Verse. We can go inside, still get Johnny Newton. And this is where I'm just, this is like such a good situation to have. Do you want Johnny Newton? You get the best defensive tackle prospect in the draft. Do you get Jared Verse, who's the best 4-3 prospect edge in the draft? And it's just a win-win situation. Because I can imagine just this, Verse and Sweat on the outside. Well, you have Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon locking up the secondary. That team would be nasty.
I could also see this pick being Dallas Turner, another athlete next to Montez Sweat. He's considered the best defensive player in this draft to some. I think that this pick is very cut and dry. I think they just drafted
Turner. It could be too. I mean, I get it's not the right fit. But when you have that much of a level of talent, you can find a way to make him fit.
Yeah, that's what happened when the Giants drafted Kayvon Thibodeau. It was not a scheme fit, but they made it work.
Like, you have a guy with this much talent, a guy who should be going top 8, let's be real. And if this class didn't have the most generational offensive draft in a while, this guy's probably going top 10. You get him here at 14, you take Dallas Turner easily.
Absolutely. The Indianapolis Colts here. Now, this is a situation that I think that Chris Ballard will love.
Oh, yes, he would. I think it's got to be corner here, right?
I think you go Terry and Arnold, or I think you can even grab Latu.
I was going to say one or the other. I could even see him. If we're going to go crazy, you could go Brian Thomas Jr. here.
I would love that fit.
But I feel like with Josh Downs, they already have that speed threat, though. So probably doesn't make as much sense.
Shout out Matt Merrifield. I don't know if he would love our Brian Thomas mock pick here, but
I don't think he loves anything with the Colts other than Gardner Minshew when he was here. But
for the one season that he was
here. Gardner Minshew was here. I think this has got to be Terry and Arnold, though.
Absolutely.
It's just too much sense. He's a very solid player. You get him at 15, which is great value. He just drops right into your lap. It is just perfect for Indianapolis.
Speaking of perfect, the Seattle Seahawks are on the clock right now.
Oh,
and
man.
They are elated with the board of players that they could be choosing from.
I mean, whew.
There's Latu.
Johnny Newton.
There's Byron Murphy. But I want to stick on the offensive side of the football.
Oh, yes.
They brought in offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb from Washington. He knows this player quite well, and that's Troy Fountain.
Oof.
Protect Sam Howell. Protect Geno Smith. Bring back that Seahawks, that run scheme that they love.
And now it's the Falcons back on the board here. I think this has got to be an edge rusher.
Yeah.
And you got a guy like Jared Verse there available still. Mm-hmm. I think this is, like you said, it's an easy pick. You can even go Latu, honestly. And it just comes down to what you want, because I think Latu has potential to be the best defensive player from this draft if he can stay healthy, and that's the big if. So it depends. Do you want to take that risk now, or do you want to wait and take the more sure thing?
I think Jared Verse is the better edge prospect. He's the better scheme fit for them, too.
In my opinion, yes, but I think Latu has so much potential, though. I think right now Verse will be better, though.
My issue with Latu is that the Falcons will have Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley-induced PTSD. Of those high upside edge rushers who they think will be so great, but won't. So I think they want the consistency of Jared Verse.
I feel like that could be the case too. I mean, it's a win-win situation for them. I think they'll go Verse.
I agree.
But I mean, I could see Latu potentially being the pick there.
Yes. Speaking of Latu, he could be the pick here for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean, they need edge. They could potentially draft receiver if they get rid of T. Higgins, maybe.
They could even draft Nate Wiggins, which could be a potentially really fun pick after they...
Absolutely.
They lost Chidobe Awuzie to free agency. I think that they might actually look at the secondary. Or even crazier, I think they could look at Cooper DeJean here.
I know that would make a lot of fan bases angry in the mid-20s. But, I mean, it's the draft. You know, reaches are going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. It's chaotic.
Except I don't think this is a reach at all. He can play corner. He can play safety. He's this guy. Like, you lose a guy like Chidobe Awuzie, and you need a playmaker and athlete who is going to just make plays in that secondary. And I think that's exactly what Cooper DeJean is. And the five Bengals fans out there are really going to love this pick.
You know, why not? Let's give him Cooper DeJean here. You know, this is our last mock. So, you know what? Let's get a little wild. That puts the Rams on the clock at 19 here. They need a corner, and I think, you know, you just go out. Take Nate Wiggins. Don't think twice about it. Or, you know what? No, not Nate Wiggins. Johnny Newton.
Not Latu?
You lost the best defensive tackle
of
all time. You need someone that can at least help out with that old D-line a bit. I'm not saying Johnny Newton is going to be the next Aaron Donald. If he is, I told you here first. But he is going to be a stud right away. He's going to help fill in at least 25% of that hole. And maybe if he's, I don't know, that might be too generous at that, just because how good Aaron Donald is.
Johnny Newton falling to 19.
I think great value. I think you got to take him here. He's the best D tackle in the draft. He just does so many things well. I think it's the perfect pick. And if I'm the Steelers right now, I'm ecstatic at what I see on the board.
Absolutely. You know who else is ecstatic at what they see on the board right now?
Jack David. Jack David would be crying if this is the board at 20. I see three players right away that you could just absolutely shoo in and would be elite. Brian Thomas. You can go on at JPJ. Even J.C. Latham would be a great fit because they need O-line help.
Even Nate Wiggins.
If you have four guys who would be absolute steals to have at 20.
Even Graham Barton is another one that I really like.
Exactly. The only thing is, you know, I think he's going to be more inside than outside, which kind of does impact your positional value where you'll get him, but
yeah.
It could go either way.
Ultimately, with this pick, I think the Steelers lost a lot of juice in their offense after trading away Deontay Johnson. So now they can get Brian Thomas Jr. alongside George Pickens to create potentially at least one of the scarier wide receiver duos in the AFC North with
George Pickens.
We know that there's Chase and Higgins. We know that there's Amari Cooper and Judy and Elijah Moore. Which doesn't move the pedal. That could quickly be the second best receiver duo in that division. Maybe even the best if T. Higgins doesn't get traded like we anticipate.
Well, probably, and I think, I mean, they need receiver, let's be real.
The Bills are upset that they can't call the move up.
I mean, that very well could happen in 19 if, although I don't think they'll pass up on Johnny Newton, though.
I agree.
I don't think that's too much for them to really give up.
Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr., great player, great fit. The Dolphins here, this is a pick that...
Yeah, I think this is an easy pick.
What do you think that this pick is?
I mean, I think it should be Jackson Powers Johnson here.
I think this could be Graham Barton, too. He's just as athletic.
It could be either one. I mean, you pick your poison. I really like Graham Barton, like you said, though. He's just such a good interior offensive lineman. Obviously, you know, people are going crazy. Oh, they're going to draft Xavier Worthy, which would be just insane here. Imagine that. Dolphins and getting another speedster to go along Tyreek Hill. Might be the fastest group of humans on this planet.
Probably is.
But
I like Graham Barton. He's 6'5", 313, had a 9.99 relative athleticism score. If there's one thing that you need to do in that Miami offense with that speed scheme that they run is you got to make those downfield blocks.
Absolutely.
And have that athleticism downfield, protect Tua, help those speedster weapons make plays after the catch, and that's why I think that this pick is Graham Barton. I mock this so frequently in mock drafts because I think that this is just such a picture-perfect fit.
And now the Vikings at 22. You know what?
Back-to-back picks for the Vikings here.
Let's go quarterback here, Jason.
They have two in a row, so they can draft quarterback with their next pick.
Well, I think it doesn't matter the order, but let's go. Let's get a little wild. Do we want Bo or do we want Michael?
Michael Penix. This is.
I think.
I don't think Bo Nix should be anywhere near the first round. Sorry, Matt Merrifield.
You can say that while his photo is enshrined right there
in our studio.
In our studio.
Like wow. I said, shout out Matt Merrifield. But
yeah, shout out Merrifield. So we got the Vikings after trading back and getting some more assets. Get their quarterback at 22. And like I said, he doesn't have to start right away. He probably should start right away, which is kind of concerning because he is an older quarterback. He is up there in age.
Yeah.
So obviously you would like a guy that old to start right away. And he's got the arm talent, right? He can make the throws. It's the question is, can he do it out of structure? Can he do it in an NFL pocket? And, well, his injury history as well.
Yeah. I mean, you got that Minnesota offensive line blocking for him. I would be a little less worried about that injury history right there.
Exactly. And now they got to go again at 23. And I think this is...
I think they go to the defensive side of the ball here.
I was going to say, Latu is still there.
Byron Murphy
I was just
there.
About to say that, Jason. Stole the words from my mouth, man.
Nate Wiggins, too. Another one who...
I just think Byron Murphy is a stud here at 23, though. I really like the idea of him joining Minnesota.
Oh, they invested a lot of money into their defensive line. They lost to Neil Hunter, but they brought in Jonathan Grenard.
Exactly.
Put Grenard with Byron Murphy. Oof. There were some reports from my good friend Cam Marino who said that Byron Murphy could be a surprise top 10 pick. So falling to 23, this shocked.
I think this is just...
Yeah. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah would be celebrating at this pick right
here. I think you got to do Byron Murphy at 23.
I absolutely agree. Now we have the Dallas Cowboys on the clock here.
Offensive tackle needs center. Obviously, you could go linebacker. Right.
I could see someone calling them to move up for Latu.
Well, I mean, who realistically needs an edge?
Hear me out. Detroit. Lions fans unite.
Would Brad Holmes be the type of GM to do it? Maybe.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, that's fair.
Think about having Houch on one side and the upside of Latu on the other.
Okay. I should put it like that. So you're moving up from 29 to 24. Probably only need a second.
Only need to give up a second round pick. I know all of our Lions fans here at Michigan State University are going to be saying, but Nate Wiggins.
We need
is
a corner, yeah.
We need Kool-Aid McKinstry. We need Nate Wiggins. Latu, and Aiden Hutchinson will strike fear into opposing offensive lines.
I was like, you don't need a corner when your quarterback's going to be sacked in under a second.
Yeah. And Brad Holmes is an aggressive GM. He has the opportunity to trade up for a guy that he likes, that he sees slipping. Latu does have some concerning medicals, but he could have the highest ceiling of any of the defensive players.
And if there's a GM who doesn't care about medicals, it is Brad Holmes. I mean, he drafted Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
So it's clear he doesn't care. If Latu drops in that 20-ish area, I could easily, like you said, the upside on this is a top 10 guy.
Absolutely.
With Latu. Maybe even potentially, he has the best upside of any defensive player in this draft.
Yeah.
I mean, just that's how good this man could be.
He has some concerning medicals, but they did come back clean at the NFL Combine. He's a guy that's athletic. He's fun. You put him in this scheme across from Aiden Hutchinson. You see him slip a little bit. I think Brad Holmes will make the call, and he'll do what he has to do to get it done.
That leaves the Packers, at 25.
I see Aaron Rodgers has left a poor taste in your mouth, Mr. Ryan.
A lot of the Packers quarterbacks have done that to me as a Bears fan. I will admit to that.
Okay, what do we see the Green Bay Packers doing here?
I mean, they need interior help. JPJ is there, which is kind of shocking. They could go corner Nate Wiggins. Latham's still available.
Tyler Guyton is still there. They want to go with an offensive tackle. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
You know what?
You know who feels like a Packers pick to me?
Who?
Nate Wiggins.
I was just about to say Nate Wiggins. But I also feel like Buffalo could potentially trade up for AD Mitchell here.
I don't think they want to risk him falling here, so I'm totally on board with that.
Because I feel like if you look at the teams behind him,
yeah,
Baltimore needs a receiver. I feel like Baltimore could do it. Kansas City could trade up. Sneaky one. Panthers could trade up.
Another sneaky one, New England, also at the top of the second round.
Yeah, I feel like that's what people don't really understand.
Yeah, this could be a bidding war for AD Mitchell, so the Packers could be selling this pick off. And
I think you could easily get like a second and maybe a fifth for it or something. Pretty good value when you're just moving back four spots in the late first. I think Buffalo realized they need a wide receiver one as much as any of these teams. Yeah.
Would they give up a first, a second this year or next year, though?
Because I'd assume next year.
I would say their own second rounder next year.
I'd assume that would be the trade.
2025, Buffalo second, and 28 for 25.
I think I think Green Bay is ecstatic to get that call.
Yeah.
Because realistically, all their options, they're going to get it roughly around the same amount of the same people that they want, the same amount of draft prospects that they want at 28 versus 25. You go out, you add on an extra second to tack on, and Buffalo still gets their wide receiver one. Yeah,
absolutely. And AD Mitchell. He's a stud, an alpha wide receiver one. Great speed, great size, great athleticism. Josh Allen is going to love this guy. You lose Stephon Diggs. AD Mitchell makes that departure hurt that much less because of how talented he is. And we're in the mid-20s right now. This is a guy who could be going potentially the late teens, early 20s.
If T. Higgins gets traded.
Yeah, 25.
If you see T. Higgins get traded, he can go as high as 18, in my opinion. And obviously, the concerns are character issues there.
I would say 17, Jacksonville.
Yeah, that too. Obviously, there are some concerns with, there have been character issues that have been apparently seen. But, I mean, again, I'm not reading into the smoke screens as much. I don't really believe much of that. Most of that's all just drama created by NFL scouts or other things and smoke screens like that.
Yeah.
And speaking of smoke screens, they're firing the cannons in Tampa Bay here. Coming off a playoff run, re-signed Baker to a long-term deal. Mike Evans is getting up there in age, but they re-signed him. And they're picking here at 26. And they got a couple of good positions on the board. Need edge, corner still available with Nate Wiggins. Could go interior with Jackson Powers Johnson.
I could definitely see that. I think he will be off the board in the next two or three picks with Dallas, Arizona, all these teams needing interior offensive line help. But you know what it comes down to for me? You know who just retired for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last season? Ryan Jensen, a Pro Bowl level center who they never really got to replace, and an elite naysay on their offensive line. And you have a chance to replace him with a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson. I think general manager Jason Light is going to love this potential pairing.
I mean, to get him at 26 is great value. I get, he's a center. He's not going to have much positional value.
Yeah.
But we talked about earlier, and even just in general, Joe Alt being a sure thing in this draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. being a sure thing in this draft. If there was another guy, I would bet my life savings on to be a sure thing, at least be a starter in this league, it is Jackson Powers Johnson. I mean, he's just the best center prospect I've seen in quite some time, probably since Tyler Linderbaum, in my opinion.
And that guy was drafted 23rd overall. So exactly. Jackson Powers Johnson at 26 is
great value. He's going to come in, be a mainstay at center.
Yeah.
And, I another team I could potentially see drafting him, maybe if they didn't trade up for a corner. You lost Jason Kelce. Maybe the Eagles could go up and get JPJ.
I could see them that with him or Graham Barton.
Because imagine that you lose Jason Kelce, potentially the greatest center of all time, and what you replace him with, potentially a guy who can be up there by the end of his career with Jackson Powers Johnson.
Even Graham Barton, both of them have the athleticism both of them to want to replace. Oof. Jackson Powers Johnson, you just paid Baker all that money.
You got to protect
him. Why not try and protect him? Absolutely.
And now you got the Cardinals here at 27. They picked up Marvin Harrison Jr. before at number 4. They're up here again. I feel like this could be O-line.
I think this could be secondary.
Especially considering there's one big guy still available.
Two big guys still available, I would say.
Well, yeah, two technically.
I think this pick has to come down to either Nate Wiggins or Kool-Aid McKinstry.
And I feel like, I think I'd take Nate Wiggins over Kool-Aid, in my opinion.
I would take Nate Wiggins, and I think that Jonathan Gannon would take Nate Wiggins. he comes from that Eagles defensive coaching tree where they love those athletic, fast, hot, like high motor corners, what I would say, that are athletic and make those plays. The Eagles drafted Quinyon Mitchell earlier, so why not get a bit of a Quinyon Mitchell light with in terms of athleticism and Nate Wiggins? He's got more speed, but he's just as good of an athlete as Quinyon Mitchell in Philly. So I think that Nate Wiggins, enjoy the hot sun of Arizona.
That'll bring the Packers up at 28 here. And I want to put Latham here because I think they need offensive tackle help.
I was going to say I think that they could very well go offensive tackle here.
And you still have Kool-Aid, and they could use another corner.
Yeah.
Guyton's still available, too.
I think that this pick could very well be J.C. Latham. Another team that I could see making a run at Latham is the Baltimore Ravens, if they want to trade up and bring in J.C. Latham.
That's the thing, because I assume if the Packers trade back, I assume Latham's going to go there. I feel like Guyton would go to Dallas then, and they'd lose out on a tackle.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Dallas is going to need offensive line, and they probably will go offensive line. Unless, if Green Bay really likes Kool-Aid McKinstry, I would be perfectly fine with moving back to 30, because assuming you're going to get him at 30 if you trade back with the Ravens.
Yeah, I just really like the idea of J.C. Latham being a Raven, because they just traded Morgan Moses this offseason. And Ronnie Stanley struggled to stay healthy. I think Eric DaCosta, another GM that would get aggressive to get his guy.
Absolutely. I mean, you've seen him be aggressive before. Why not? You know, like we said.
Also, I know they need offensive line, but they just want to draft who they think the best player on their board is. They're not tied down to any position, the Green Bay Packers. So I think that when they get a call about J.C. Latham, they're not that heartbroken about not landing him.
How much do you think the Ravens would have to give up to move up, though?
I think 93. Two picks.
Yeah, I feel like you wouldn't have to give up too much. Probably just 30 and what, a third?
Yeah.
To move up to 28.
J.C. Latham. This is another thing I've been constantly mocking. Graham Barton to the Dolphins, J.C. Latham to the Ravens are the things that I love just because of the way that those teams operate.
Man, we are cooking with these trades today, aren't we?
We're getting interesting.
We're just going all over the place. And why not, man? We got the time.
I think they could all happen. I think that they're all potentially
realistic.
Yeah,
they're all realistic. Yeah. And then Dallas here, after trading back down, I feel like this has to be Tyler Guyton. They need offensive line help.
I could also see it being Kingsley Suamatia. Yeah. I could see his measurables staring Jerry Jones in the face and him being floored by what he can accomplish. With Tyler Guyton, 6'7", 322. Say, yeah. That's a freak. That's freak, man.
I mean, they could just go either way. I mean,
they lost Tyron Smith. They're definitely going with an offensive tackle here, in my opinion. Just a matter of which one.
I feel like I'm just going to go Guyton here.
I like Guyton here, too.
And then Packers, I think they take Kool-Aid.
I think.
I mean, they need corner. You trade back. You added a second and a third, basically, just move back three spots and still get your guy in Kool-Aid McKinstry. Yeah. You get more assets to build up that team that is already, as much as I hate to say it, stacked.
Yeah.
On both sides of the ball. You have the best young receiving core potentially in the league with so much young talent. Jordan Love seems like he's that guy.
Yeah.
That defense is solid.
Ron and Xavier McKinney, why not help the secondary even more? Bring in a fellow Alabama Crimson Tough.
Exactly.
Alabama Crimson Tide player in Kool-Aid McKinstry.
And that leaves the 49ers here at 31.
I could see this being a trade spot.
I think so, too.
Because I think someone's not coming in for Bo Nix. I think it's going to be for Xavier Worthy.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
The Panthers at 33, the Patriots at 34, and even the Chargers at 37. Are all teams I can see making this move.
But you know, who's going to be desperate, though?
I think that this pick could very well be the Chargers. And because Xavier Worthy was committed to Michigan to play for Jim Harbaugh, there's probably a bit of a relationship there. And you're leaping the division rival Chiefs to get this guy, too.
Absolutely, because I think Chiefs are going to receiver no matter what.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, they're in a position where they can just go best player available. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they're in no position to go receiver. The Panthers definitely want a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
The Patriots definitely want a wide receiver. I think they're all going to look into trading in. Giving Jaden Daniels Xavier Worthy in New England would be a very fun,
that's gonna juice be
new offense.
A speedy offense, one might say. Like, oh
I think
my.
That it's either the Patriots or the Chargers. What do you think here, Josh?
I feel like Chargers need a receiver so badly. I feel like the Patriots are not as much as a rush to add that talent in right away because they don't need to be good like next year.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the Chargers, they have Justin Herbert under contract. And every year you waste is another year you're wasting of his prime. And when you have that elite quarterback, that top five quarterback in the league, you could say, you got to get him weapons while you can. You cannot waste another year of Justin Herbert tossing to Joshua Palmer, tossing to Quentin Johnson. You got to get him a wide receiver one. Yeah.
This guy that can stretch your offense, strike fear into opposing defenses, speed, route running, separation, Xavier Worthy and Justin Herbert. Oh, boy.
That is dangerous.
As a fantasy football player, I will be keeping my eye on that if this happens.
Now, realistically, what do you think they're gonna have to give up to move up?
Just a third round pick, honestly.
I got you.
I'd say 37-69 for 31 is a pretty reasonable offer.
I think so. I think they probably would do that too. I mean, it's just
you need a lot of help. You can bring in maybe a tight end or some defensive help, but Worthy and Joe all talk about a first round from first year GM Joe Ortiz.
That would be electric.
Yes. I love this draft for the Los Angeles Chargers. Everyone thinks that they could draft Roman Wilson, that they could draft Blake Corum. I think that they want Xavier Worthy, another guy that Jim Harbaugh knows quite well.
And you know what? That leaves the Chiefs here at 32. And there's a couple receivers they could go with. Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, perhaps. And obviously, Troy Franklin scares me a little bit with the hands and the route running. But Keon Coleman's staring me right there at 34.
Yeah.
And I think there are concerns about his separation. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But if you look at the tape, obviously, 40 speed is different than game speed. And we saw him run the gauntlet, and he got up to 19 miles per hour. I don't think there's going to be an issue with that. I think it's Keon Coleman here. I think they got to go receiver.
I think it's either Coleman or Ladd McConkey.
I really like Ladd, too. I'm really high on Ladd.
I think that's a guy that the Chiefs would love, too, with the way he can exactly. run routes. But I think that Keon Coleman will be the pick here. Because if there's any coach and any quarterback that can kind of figure out the issues that this player has, I think it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
They're going to take the shot.
I mean, you have to at this point.
I'm not sure that I think he should be a day one player, but I think he will be.
And now the Panthers are on the clock at 33 after trading away the first overall pick to Chicago. Potentially one of the trades of all time, I will say.
Oh, yes.
A shout out to the Panthers GM. I thank him every day for making that trade.
Scott Fitterer got fired for a reason.
Hey, greatest GM of all time, in my opinion.
I think that the Panthers here, everyone's saying it could be wide receiver. They brought in Deontay Johnson. They have Jonathan Mingo. They have Terrace Marshall. They have a young wide receiver room.
Did they still have Thielen, or did he retire?
They still have Adam Thielen.
Oh, man. Well,
or he signed a one-year deal. I don't know if they're going to bring him back.
Oh, they have Thielen. It could be.
They have DJ Chark.
I mean, they still need edge. Chop Robinson still available. They could go interior offensive line. Christian Haynes out of UConn is really good. I like Cooper Beebe a lot.
Yeah.
Both of those are solid options, maybe earlier, maybe later. Center Zach Frazier, who's a very good center out of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Very good interior player. And I look at edge, I just see Chop Robinson just staring me in the face.
I see Darius Robinson staring me in the face.
Both of them, I think, are going to be amazing. You can still go secondary. They don't need secondary as much. Tyler Newbin is going to be a good safety out of Minnesota. Even TJ Tampa. I think it's, you know, pick your poison. Which Robinson do you want, Chop or Darius? I feel like Darius is a little bit more complete than Chop. Chop's a little scares me a bit in the run game.
The Panthers need a guy who has a bit more going on, so I think that this is a Darius Robinson spot.
Absolutely. And that brings the Patriots back up to 34. After taking their quarterback of the future in Jaden Daniels, do they get him some help here at 34 here?
Absolutely. I think they stick on the offensive side of the football, but not in the way you expect. Everybody's saying wide receiver, Ladd McConkey. I think that this pick could be Kingsley Suamitia.
I mean, he's that size.
Or Kieran Emeji from Yale.
I mean, 6'4", 326. Just insanely athletic.
Kieran Emeji, 6'5", 323. It's those like big hog mollies, as former GM Giants GM Dave Gettleman used to say.
That's a name.
Kingsley Suamitia, 6'4", 326, 9.4 relative athleticism.
I was going to say, that's what stuck out to me, man. Like, whew.
You're blocking for Jaden Daniels. You're going to need that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're blocking for an elite scrambling quarterback like that. You're going to need a guy who can get outside the pocket, block downfield, you know, like we said, just be able to move and be agile like that. And absolutely. I think that type of offensive tackle, especially with New England, where they really like to live inside the trenches, you put him with that speed, whew, that is nasty work.
Absolutely. This is a new New England team, and it's going to be a fun New England team.
Now, the Cardinals, after, you know, really potentially winning the draft so far, you get Marvin Nate Wiggins back on the clock here at 35.
They could bring in Chop Robinson.
I was about to say, they need edge help. You add Chop Robinson in here. You can even go interior offensive line if you really want to just overhaul the old line.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Chop here at 35 is just good value.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's got a lot of product, potential.
But it's a rebuilding team, so it's a place you want to go if you're Jonathan Gannon.
And right now the Cardinals are winning this draft, in my opinion.
I think the Cardinals and the Chargers are really...
If this is how the draft played out, and I was a Cardinals fan, I would be happy as a clam right now.
Absolutely.
And now Washington in at 36, got Drake May. Could potentially go receiver again here. They also have another pick at 40 they could go receiver.
I could see them moving back here.
I could too, and the Panthers are there at 39, remember. They drafted Darius Robinson.
I could also see the Raiders coming up a couple picks for Bo Nix just to ensure that they land a quarterback in the draft.
That could also be the case because...
Or Spencer Rattler, because but I think...
I was going to say, I had Spencer Rattler in a potential trade-up later in the draft. Cause
later
I think,
in the second round?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if it gets down to, like, you know, 60s and, like, late 50s, I think a team could trade up for a Rattler because I think he's been rising on draft boards. And he's got a lot of tools. I don't think he's, you know, as well-polished as Bo Nix or Michael Penix. But I feel like he could get to that level one day.
Absolutely. I think the Raiders stand out to me. I think the Giants stand out, except I don't really think that Bo Nix is that good. So I think they're more of a day three quarterback or Spencer Rattler team or Joe Milton.
Yeah, I think the fact that you have Daniel Jones with that contract helps make the decision a lot easier because you know you can't move on from him until a year. So if you are going to draft a quarterback, you can take a risk on a day three flyer because you know you can bench him for a year. And if he works out, oh, well. If he doesn't, you'll just take one in possibly the first round next year.
Absolutely. Quinn Ewers has been the apple of my eye for quite some time. I think that the way that that man can sling a football, I'm not a Shedeur Sanders man, but Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers, I think, has a lot of potential. Carson Beck has been a name going around a bit.
But apparently they've been looking at Jaden Rashada in the transfer portal, Georgia. Oh. So he may not even have a guaranteed starting job.
So Washington on the board here, do we want to go trade down?
I think that someone could come up for Bo Nix. I think someone could come up for Ladd McConkey. I think somebody could also come up for Zach Frazier.
Who would need a receiver? I feel like Panthers need a receiver, but for Ladd, I mean, last time they traded up, it kind of burnt them. So
I think they're willing to stay put because I don't think the 49ers are going to take Ladd. Yeah. I don't think the Titans will either.
So who would need it? Green Bay doesn't need a receiver. Texans don't need a receiver. They just trade up for Diggs.
Falcons. I don't think anybody now. I think Ladd will just
I think he's just going to drop. So I think it's just... I mean...
This is quite the interesting
draft. This is just such a difficult... when you get to these later rounds, because it just could be anybody.
You know who I could see this pick being here for the Washington Commanders?
Who?
This could be a little early. He's a little bit smaller, but he is a... They need cornerback help, and this guy is locked down.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
We know this man quite well. He ran a pick back 4-6 against our Spartans, Michigan's Mike Sanders still. Very good corner. I think there's really no shot he doesn't go in the second round.
I think that's I was about to say, because I've been seeing a lot of mocks of him getting really high up on the board. Obviously, he's not a traditional corner. I feel like he's more like inside than outside.
Yeah.
But he is a stud, though.
They have another really pick, though. Good. They have another pick. They have 40.
I mean, you have 40. I think that makes it easier.
To take a guy like Mike Sanders still.
Exactly. And he's going to come in, potentially be a great interior corner for them, cover up that slot, and just ball out.
Dan Quinn is a merchant of some phenomenal defensive backs. So let's see what work he can do with a guy who was great at Michigan and Mike Sanders still.
That brings the 49ers up here at 37 after trading down with the Chargers.
I know they would have loved Mike Sanders still being there.
I know they were licking their chops thinking they were going to get him.
Yeah, absolutely. They drafted Ambry Thomas, a Michigan cornerback, back in 2018. Fun fact, but...
Remember, this is their first pick of the draft. Need offensive tackle, could go corner.
We could see two Michigan players could go back to back right here.
Very well could.
We could see Braden Fisk be this pick.
I love Braden Fisk so much. I think he's just gonna be so good inside.
I think that's a guy the Niners would love too.
I mean, he is the Niners pick to take Braden Fisk.
People are saying he might be going a little early. He may not be good to go top 50. John Lynch doesn't care. He's drafting his guy. Braden Fisk at 37.
I mean, look at the dudes. Dude is 6'3", 292. His relative athletic score, 9.89.
Wow.
Nobody should move like that at that size. That's just, for a D-tackle to be running like that, to have those intangibles, and you put him in a, you know, with a coach who you know can get the best out of him, not real. Not real.
Yeah. Absolutely, Josh. I think that is going to be a great spot. This is quite the spot here for the Tennessee Titans, I should probably add.
Absolutely. I mean, they go out there, got their, I believe, their offensive tackle in the first round.
They did.
With, who did they draft? We had him drafted in...
Amarius Mims.
Amarius Mims. Thanos. And now they can go in here, they can go corner, they can go wide receiver, defensive tackle.
Ladd McConkey, I don't think that Ladd McConkey is their kind of guy. They have Ridley, they have Hopkins. McConkey's a bit of a different receiver to those guys, but I don't think that that's the route that they're going to go here. I think they could go wide receiver in the third round. They could wait for a guy like Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Jalen McMillan, Tez Walker. Deep receiver class. I don't think that Rand Carson is in any rush to draft a wide receiver.
I mean, you got good corners still available. Newbin is more safety. TJ Tampa, Max Melton, even Ennis Rackestraw Jr., who's projected to go in the late first for a long time.
I can see this pick being Peyton Wilson, a linebacker here.
I was just about to say that easily the best linebacker in the class. He can cover the field like a boat covers water, basically. I mean, he's just all over the place. You watch the film of this guy doing with his chase down tackles.
Yeah.
It is special. You want to talk about a guy with high motor? This guy probably has the highest motor, at least one of the highest motors in the draft by far.
Peyton Wilson was a guy who really impressed me when I watched him at the combine. So I think that Tennessee is going to see similar things to what we saw and draft Peyton Wilson.
And now the Panthers are on the clock. You could go receiver here. You get a stud edge in Darius Robinson. There's also other places you can go. There's still a very good interior offensive lineman available. You got Zach Frazier still there. You still have, I believe, Beebe and Haynes still available.
Oh, they're all still there.
I mean, it is your pick of the litter if you're Carolina here.
I think that the guy that they're really looking at was a guy they looked at 33, Ladd McConkey. We spoke about him earlier. Route runner, good at Georgia. Spent a lot of the season hurt, but... really impressed at the combine. And him next to Deontay Johnson, there's a lot of route running, a lot of receivers who are able to get open and create separation in that offense this year, which the Panthers did not have last year. Absolutely. And that will help Bryce Young out immensely.
I mean, just look at the feet. I mean, the footwork, like you mentioned, impeccable, to say the least.
Best footwork in this draft.
I think so, quite easily. I mean, he can get open. He doesn't need, speed, even though he's very quick on his feet. He's just he's very good. I mean, I don't really like the comparisons to this guy, but people are comparing him to Cooper Kupp coming out of college.
And it's like, feels rich.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just feels like too much, in my opinion. But it's just like, I feel like you're just comparing them because they're just, you know, white receivers, basically.
Yeah, like white receivers who have, like, they are both very, like, very fun, very good players.
Exactly.
I really like Ladd McConkey. Really, really has impressed me. So I think giving him and Deontay Johnson, Bryce Young, after how bad the receivers were last year.
Absolutely.
Going to make the guy be the happiest man on the planet. Happy as a clam, like you said earlier.
The Commanders back on the clock. They just took Mike Sanistrell out of Michigan at 36. They got their quarterback in Drake May. They're on the clock again here. They lost Curtis Samuel. They could go wide receiver. I don't think they really need to. They could go interior, corner, edge, or safety.
I could also see a potential trade happening here.
I mean, I could see it too, because considering Troy Franklin Jr. is still on the board at 40.
I'm not a Troy Franklin fan. I don't think
he's think he will. I think some team will trade for him.
I think the Rams could come up for Bo Nix.
I like that. Although I don't think the Rams have a pick in the second. So
they
probably
do. They have pick 52.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I feel it's a little rich to come up 12 spots for a quarterback in the second round, but
let's be real, Stafford's old though.
Stafford's old, and you're not asking him to play right away. It's a Sean McVay system. Bo Nix is kind of perfect for, I think, what they're looking for at this point in the draft.
So moving off 12 spots, I assume you're gonna have to go up another second.
I was able to do 52 and 83 on here, and it worked. So the extra pick for Washington, they're in a rebuild, so they're just trying to get as many picks as they can, I guess.
Yes, it does work. Okay, and then Mr. Nix is off the table here.
The Raiders were definitely looking at him. With that,
I feel like, yeah,
pick.
The Oakland could definitely have been in on that completely. Now the Packers are back here again.
Yeah, I could see them coming back, moving back maybe.
I could see that too. And the Packers got their corner early on with Kool-Aid McKinstry. Still could get some offensive line help here.
I think that this is the route they will go. I think that this could be Cooper Beebe here.
I love Cooper Beebe so much.
Really good player.
I think he's going to be very good out of Kansas State.
Yeah.
I really hope the Bears would get him, but I don't think he's going to make it to the Bears' next pick. He's going to be very good.
Yeah, I bet you're upset. Not just upset that he was drafted here, not to the Bears, but he was also going to a division rival.
Exactly.
The Packers.
I had to deal with another Packers old lineman that's going to torture us with holding calls that don't get called for the next 10 years.
Oh, boy. The Houston Texans traded out of the first round with the Vikings and added Stephon Diggs this offseason. They've been killing it this offseason. Let's see what they can do to try and continue that. Josh?
I mean, they got D-tackle. It says D-tackle corner. Offensive tackle, linebacker, offensive guard. There's a ton of good offensive guards available. Christian Haynes. Also Zach Frazier, although they don't really need center. Offensive tackle-wise, you still have Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, who I think is pretty solid.
And Kieran Emeji out of Yale, another guy who I'm pretty high on.
And, you know, they don't really need wide receiver. They're not going quarterback or running back, in my opinion. They're going to go quarterback here. Spencer Rattler, he's replacing C.J. Stroud.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I could see this pick being Tavondre Sweat out of Texas.
I think his draft stock might drop a little bit with the recent stuff with him.
I think he's still a second-round player.
He's so good. It sort of reminds me of, like, I believe Jordan Davis when he dropped to the Eagles, I think a couple of drafts ago, where it's a guy who, when he can play, he can do it. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
But the question is, his gas tank, can he do it every single down? Probably not early on in his career.
But at some point,
if he can be that guy,
if he can stop being this party animal that he's being characterized as, then definitely. I think Braden Fisk definitely should have been drafted before him in the second round.
Exactly.
But I think Sweat should be going probably by the end of pick 64. Maybe not here, but...
With the talent he has,
absolutely,
he should be. Like, no question about it.
I think the Texans could also keep this pick in Texas and draft Edgerrin Cooper.
I think so, too. But, I mean, I just... The potential Tavondre, like you mentioned, is it's so high, but, you know, character issues are real.
I don't think you have to draft him here. Maybe you get a call to move back and still draft him?
I mean, why not just get crazy here? Put him at 42.
Is that what you want to do? Or
yeah,
is,
sure, why not? Let's
I'm not sure I think that this could go down. I think Sweat will kind of drop a little bit.
I feel like he would too, but
I think that they'll go corner here, honestly, and go with maybe
I saw Rackestraw.
Either Matt Melton or Rackestraw. I think maybe Max Melton.
Exactly. I'm going to put Melton here.
I like Max Melton here a lot.
And that would be the Falcons in at 43 now.
They drafted Jared Verse in the first round. Let's see what Terry Fontenot can cook in a franchise-altering draft, potentially. There's edge. There's corner. I think they could go back to the cornerback well and draft Ennis Rackestraw.
I think I love that pick so much. Because you can imagine just him in that Falcons defense.
Yeah.
It's just...
I would agree with you. I think Ennis Rackestraw is the pick here.
We just imagine your two corners being Rackestraw and A.J. Terrell.
Boy.
Have fun tossing against Ennis Rackestraw and A.J. Terrell, man.
Definitely.
That is an elite cornerback duo. And now the Raiders are on the clock at 44. Lost out on their two quarterbacks to trade up potentially in Penix and Nix. Maybe they pick up Rattler later on in the draft.
Maybe they trade back here.
I was going to say, they could trade back.
There's a lot of interior offensive line talent here. Maybe the Eagles come calling to try and bring in an interior alignment of their own.
I feel like the Eagles could cold call and get Zach Frazier. They need a center.
Ooh, they really have slim pickings in this draft, though.
That is true.
Capital.
But the thing is, could Zach Frazier fall to 53? I mean, there are 9 spots from now, or 50, I should say. They're only 6 spots away. Who else in front of him really could go for interior offensive lineman?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they'll trade up twice in 2 rounds. Draft capital does not really matter to Howie Roseman. He will get aggressive. He'll always get his guys. He'll always find his guys. They may not have a lot of capital in 2025, but I don't think they need it.
So we're going to do this? Trade up to 44?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Zach Frazier, welcome to Philly. I know 50? That a bunch of Eagles fans I know will be quite happy with this pick.
How much do you think they're going to give up? 50, 30?
I would just say a third next year and 50.
Probably true.
Now we got your Bears on the clock. Another team I could see making a small move back.
I think it could be, but hold on, so Zach Frazier. Yeah, at 45 here.
I have an interesting... Like, I have an interesting idea here. I think someone could come up for Xavier Legette.
I was going to say, but I think if the Bears are here, I think they'd take Legette because they need a wide receiver 3, though.
I also think the Colts could maybe move up one spot for him to ensure they get their guy.
Knowing Poles, he does love his draft capital, though.
Yeah, and the Colts will love Xavier Legette in the second round.
And being realistic, they could probably still add Troy Franklin with the next pick because I think... The wide receiver the Bears need is they have DJ Moore. They have Mike Williams. They need a speed guy over the top, which they have in Tyler Scott. Yeah. I'm not sure if he's a true wide receiver 3. They have Velus Jones. It was just Velus Jones. I don't need to mention anything about that more than what is said about the man.
Yeah, the Bears got this pick from the Saints. Flip it. And I think that the Colts here move up the spot, trade pick 151. And bring in South Carolina's Xavier Legette, a guy who kind of slipped. Very good player.
He's a solid wide receiver. He can go as early, I think early 30s even. I'm really high in this guy. He's got all the tools in the world.
Yeah. You said it well, Josh. The Bears back on the clock now. Quick hiatus for him.
Quick hiatus indeed. I mean, there's so many options.
I think they could go on the interior offensive line. Maybe
I was
going to
say,
Haynes.
I was looking at that right away. And if you know Ryan Poles, he loves those linemen with high athletic scores.
Christian Haynes and Christian Mahogany.
Both of those guys.
Relative athleticism scores in the 9s.
I mean, you look at why he drafted Darnell Wright. It's because he was an athletic freak.
I think Mims will be drafted earlier. Than
you look
think.
At the guys that Ryan Poles likes to draft. Interior-wise, Haynes is a stud. and we need left guard help. I mean, we have Jenkins. We got, I forgot who we signed from the Rams at center. Nate Davis, who's at left guard. Braxton Jones, who's a solid left tackle. Darnell Wright, who looks to be a franchise right tackle. You sure up that O-line for Caleb Williams? And then you add Jared Verse. Or no, we didn't add Jared Verse, did we? And then we added...
I would say Christian Haynes here.
I think it's got to be Christian Haynes.
Great pick here.
It is the most Ryan Poles pick I've seen in ever, in my opinion.
Interesting. This pick for the Giants is another interesting one. They need a lot of help in a lot of places. People say that they have a lot of holes. They're a pretty solid roster. They got they got pretty marginally better this offseason, bringing in Brian Burns. They attacked the trenches, made those better. Wide receiver and quarterback are their main holes.
And you did get neighbors early on, too.
Yes.
I mean, you can always double-dip receiver. No one's stopping you.
You could. We could bring in Troy Franklin. We could bring in Malachi Quarley. But you know what I think the Giants do here? I think they look at this cornerback crop. Kamari Lassiter sitting there. TJ Tampa sitting there. A bunch of corner talent. This pick could also be some offensive line help. I think they're upset that Christian Haynes just went off the board because they would have loved a guy like that.
I would be upset if he's off the board, too. I think he's going to be very good.
They signed Jermaine Elamiyanor from the Raiders this offseason. I don't know if he's a franchise tackle. He's solid. We'll see what Evan Neal could be. But I think they have enough faith in their offensive line for the moment for them to want to draft George's Kamari Lassiter.
I think so, too. I mean, he's very good.
Pair him with Deontay Banks. No fly zone. NYPD. Really good player.
Not the best athletic score, but I think this dude can still play.
It's not Wink Martindale anymore. Exactly. Though. He's a guy that can cover, play opposite Deontay Banks. I think he's a really, really good player.
Exactly. And the Jags are back on the clock at 48 here.
They drafted Rome Odunze in the first round. This could be a corner. This could be a defensive lineman. Could be a plethora of different scenarios here for Trent Baalke.
I mean, they got the wide receiver one.
Yeah, I could see them drafting Tavondre Sweat here.
You know what? Why not?
I can see this being Sweat, or I can see them going to the offensive line.
I mean, they're still pretty good tackles available. Jordan Morgan's still there.
Kieran Emeji, yeah.
Kieran Emeji. You still got decent, you know. I like Cedric Van Granger from Georgia, but I don't think he's going to go this early. All the really good interior offensive linemen are kind of gone by now.
Another guy who I think could make his way into the second round, got hurt at the end of the season, but Zach Zinter.
Oh, yeah.
He is really good. He's a mauler. He's a guy that I think could go in the next few picks. Definitely by the end of the round. His stock fell because of the injury. A really good player. Would have been a second round pick. And I think that won't dissuade Jacksonville from taking him here.
Especially because you need to protect T-Law as much as you can. So we want to go Zinter here?
I like Zach Zinter here.
I like him. I mean, we've seen him play. I mean,
injuries or not, we've seen guys get hurt, still go early. Zinter.
Now the Bengals are on the clock here. They took
Johnny Newton. Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean at 18 here. They got their cornerback help. They could go receiver, assuming T. Higgins is gone, which I'm going to draft assuming that. Defensive tackle-wise, decent. There's still some decent ones left.
Yeah, there's still Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, Tavondre Sweat.
I mean, you can go edge. Adisa Isaac's still there.
Yeah.
Braylon Trice out of Washington.
Yeah, that Braylon Trice is really good. I don't think he should be on the board right now.
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, he's super good. You can still go corner, TJ Tampa.
I think this is going to be on the defensive side of the trenches. Maybe Marshawn Nealand from Western.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those edges. Isaac, Trice, or Nealand.
And I really like Braylon Trice, in my opinion.
Me too. I had him going as early as the first round in my last mock draft. So
I mean, we've seen the production this guy can do on the field. I think he'll put it together at the next level, especially in Cincinnati.
at 50, we have the Las Vegas Raiders on the clock. They move down. Could this be Spencer Rattler's new home?
You know, I feel like this is so early for Rattler, but you know what? It's a quarterback-driven league.
People said 50 was too early for Jalen Hurts.
Let's pull the trigger. Why not?
It's our last mock.
It's our last mock. What? You might as well go crazy while you can. We're taking Rattler here at 50.
They definitely need the quarterback, and they kind of wait for the guy to fall into their lap.
And they did trade back to get him, so they're still getting assets back. So
absolutely.
It's not like it's a reach or anything.
Yeah.
Because let's be realistic. I think if it got to the mid-60s, some team's going to trade up for a QB.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you missed out on Knicks. You missed out on Penix.
Yeah, someone was trading up.
Someone's going to trade up. You're done waiting. You're not letting a man, your guy, go by any longer. You get your quarterback this class, and you let him sit behind not Jimmy G. You let him sit behind Aiden O'Connell for a year.
And you know what people I'm sure there is a semblance of a relationship between Antonio Pierce and Spencer Rattler because he was an Arizona-based player and he coached at Arizona State, Antonio Pierce. So that has to be monitored.
Steelers are back on the clock here again.
A lot of ways they can go here. They drafted
Brian Thomas Jr.
I think that Tyler Newbin still being on the board right now is a bit of a travesty.
I think it's mostly the fact that he plays safety, and that could be the issue. You know,
they need a safety.
I mean, they need a safety, and I think Newbin is the best safety in this draft by far. And, you know, at 51, this is impeccable value, in my opinion. I think they're run up to the stadium to announce this pick.
Run up to the podium? Yes, in Detroit. Speaking of, the Washington Commanders are on the clock. I don't know why I led with that, but Washington here has a lot of holes they need to fill. They drafted Drake May. They drafted Mike Sainristil still. Could they finally address the offensive line with Jordan Morgan with this pick or Kieran Emeji?
I think it's pick your poison. They got it. I mean, you put in your top pick with Drake May, and you had that O-line. We saw the O-line, how they played last year, how awfully they blocked. For Sam Howell, if you want this quarterback to succeed, you cannot let him have that terrible O-line again. You have to address it at some point in this draft. And you see Jordan Morgan here, 6'5", 311. I think you have to, too. I think you got to go O-line here.
Yep. Bookend him with Sam Cosmi. Give it a shot. The Eagles back on the clock.
53, and got your center. You got your interior done. You got to trade it up before, and you got your corner done.
I can see them trying to move back with this pick and acquire some more capital in next year's draft.
I think so, too. And you look at people who could potentially trade up. You have a wide receiver, Troy Franklin, still there.
You have Edgerrin Cooper. You have Chris Jenkins. You have Jalen Polk. You have Malachi Corley. A lot of talent still on the board at this point. I think that it's going to be quite interesting to see who would trade up and who they would trade up for. I think we have to take a look at some edge needy teams.
Exactly.
Like, the Eagles need themselves claim to need an edge. I don't think that is true at all. I think we can see the Ravens come up right now.
Honestly, that would be, like we said, we talked about aggressive GMs. Ravens are very aggressive in, you know, getting who they want.
Yeah.
So Baltimore trading up with Philly.
62 and 113 for 53. Would that be enough to get it done? Who knows?
I mean, we'll see.
It was accepted. The Baltimore Ravens came up, drafted J.C. Latham in the first round. At pick 53, they could really be looking at a plethora of different positions here. They could look at Troy Franklin.
I was thinking that, too, because, I mean, imagine Franklin and Zay Flowers on the same team.
I'm not a huge Franklin guy, but I think if you put him in a situation like this where he's not going to be asked to be this elite wide receiver one, then I think he's kind of more set up to thrive.
Exactly. Especially, you know, Zay Flowers, who's a stud. I mean, that wide receiving core is just speedy.
Still Rashad Bateman?
Yeah, Rashad Bateman, but I'm just saying, Zay Flowers and Troy Franklin might be the fastest duo.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, Miami.
Troy Franklin. Enjoy the Baltimore Ravens.
Enjoy Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I'll put the Cleveland Browns on the clock here.
If we're talking teams that do not care about medicals or character issues, it is the Cleveland Browns.
Exactly. No, they don't care, bro.
You know exactly where I'm going with this pick. You know exactly where I think they'll go with this. Tavondre Sweat's fall
It is
ends.
A match made in heaven.
Oh, and putting him on the same line as Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith.
Oh, my. That's just insane.
Great fit, great player. Don't really know what else you can say about it.
That's wild.
The Dolphins. I think we can see back-to-back defensive tackles go right here.
With the Dolphins. Oh,
who
yes,
lost Christian
can, yeah.
Wilkins. I think they could bring in another Michigan man, Chris Jenkins.
I really like Chris Jenkins, and obviously, you know, like we said, we've watched all these Michigan players play against us, yeah. Unfortunately.
But they could replace Clemson DT with Clemson DT and bring in...
Oh, Rook Orihoro.
Rook Orihoro. Real
just,
athletic
well,
player.
Just look at that. Our relative athletic score, though.
Jenkins and Orihoro are both quite good players.
I mean, 6'4", 9.92. I think knowing Miami, they just want the athleticism from Rook Orihoro.
Yeah.
I think that's what Miami's going to look at more and take him over Jenkins, but I really like Jenkins too.
Me too.
But I think knowing Miami, they're going to go Orihoro for just their scheme.
Yeah. And speaking of scheme, the Dallas Cowboys have a player fall into their lap. They need linebacker help. A&M's local talent, Edgerrin Cooper's there. I think they run this pickup.
I think they do. And people are saying running back because obviously they need a running back.
They have another pick in the second round.
I was going to say they have another pick later. I don't think any team's going to be taking a running back here at least.
Not at this pick, but I think at 61, pick. Trey Benson is definitely in play.
100% in play. That'll lead us to pick 57, and I believe it's the Bucs again.
It is the Tampa Bay Bucs. Drafted Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round. Could they draft TJ Tampa here?
That would be quite a draft.
Replace secondary help with Carlton Davis who left?
I believe, yeah, Carlton Davis left for Detroit. They need corner help. TJ Tampa's a very underrated corner, in my opinion. Obviously, he did not do good in his athletic testing, but I still don't think that really matters much. I mean, you've seen the tape on him. I think he's very solid. He could be a great addition to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Todd Bowles. You get a guy who could be very, very, very good.
Now the Packers are back on the clock.
Packers. Cooper Beebe, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Could go at the offensive tackle route. Could go safety with Cole Bishop.
You have Cole Bishop there. Also offensive tackle. You still have
Cam Kitchens.
Yeah. You still have Kieran Amagashi out of jail still available there at 58. You lost Bakhtiari in the offseason. You need to find another franchise tackle to play, you know, with Jordan Love.
I don't think you want to draft one in the first round if you're the Packers, but I think the upside of Kieran Amagashi.
Exactly. I mean, just the size.
Size can play multiple positions on the line. Could be really, really valuable to Green Bay.
I think you take him here at 58. You can take that risk. You need offensive line help.
Yeah.
He's got tremendous upside. He's got the size and the build. It's just, can he put all the other things together?
Also, we were talking about Chris Jenkins for the Dolphins. I think this is where he lands, in Houston.
Absolutely. I mean, they need D-tackle help. And they pass on it the first couple rounds. You know, they got Max Melton at corner. Why not just add on to that defense? You put him alongside Will Anderson Jr.
And Danielle Hunter.
Oh, my. That is filthy.
Speaking of filthy, the Buffalo Bills back up. I think that this is a real potential for a double dip at wide receiver. Ricky Pearsall, Malachi Corley, Jalen McMillan, Tez Walker.
I really like Ricky Pearsall a lot, though.
Me too.
I'm really high on him. Also, I think Roman Wilson was climbing a lot in the draft, especially at the Senior Bowl. And it was kind of underrated, in my opinion. Jalen Polk out of Washington.
I like Jalen Polk a lot, too.
I don't think he'll be the pick here, but
I think Ricky Pearsall should be the pick here.
That's what I was about to say. I love Ricky Pearsall so much.
It should be Pearsall or Corley, and I think Pearsall's more impressive in my eyes.
I agree. I mean, you just look at his combine. You look at the film of him. I mean, he's... Whew.
Yeah.
You talked about, you know, the route running before.